Hey everybody, welcome back to the Sportsmanlike Conduct Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Argott. Glad to be back here. Tomorrow is opening day. This is March 27th. Baseball opening day is tomorrow. I want to talk about a few things before kind of baseball gets started, focusing here a little bit on the NBA. A lot of things that are going down here at the final stretch of the NBA season. Particularly, the most recent talks have been about the NBA MVP. I know some people have some different thoughts on it. Last night, Luka's name has been getting thrown around a lot. Now that the Mavericks are starting to, I would say, come on, they're in their own way. You know, they beat the Kings last night. In a very, kick-ass fashion. I think they were on a back-to-back as well. And they keep on rolling as of lately. They won five in a row. I think, what is it? Five. They won 9 of 10. Beating some decent teams in there. They beat the Nuggets for sure. I mean, Kyrie hit that game winner in that game. They beat the Jazz, back-to-back games. And then they beat the Kings. They play the Kings again tomorrow night. So we'll see how the Kings respond after getting their butt kicked. But anyways, Luka, who has been outright, he's had a great year, really dominant year. But I would say let's just hold back there. The MVP, I think right now it's come down to two people. It's come down to Nikola Jokic, of course, and SGA. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who has been spectacular all year. Luka, his numbers are off the charts, has been insane. But man, just one thing with this Mavericks team is they've, unless they close out the rest of the year, let me see how many games are remaining. They're 43-29, and Luka can make a dominant push here towards the end. Like if they somehow, are to climb into the top four, which is very likely, they're only a game behind the Clippers. The Clippers, who have just been an absolute dumpster fire. I mean, they have played crappy. Ty Lue came out and said they're pretty like soulless, the other day. That wasn't his exact quote, but the Clippers, who are dropping in the standings, and if the Mavericks could somehow, are able to climb into the fourth spot, but are there somehow to climb into that and catch up to the Timberwolves? I mean, they'll be right there next to the Thunder and the Nuggets right there. Thunder and the Nuggets are at a 51 wins and 50 wins. The only thing that separates them is that the Nuggets have one more win and they played one more game though. So again, but just where the Thunder have been at. I mean, this team missed the playoffs last year and they are doing it with one big man. I mean, I don't understand why they didn't go out and get a big. They traded for Jason Hayward. That was not, what they needed. They needed to go out and get a Clint Capella type. They failed to do that. But that's not SGA's fault. Again, for what he's had to carry this year, and I know they're kind of live and die by the three, which team isn't any in the NBA? For what they are, this team is going to end up with possibly 55 wins and turning it around. We have about 71 games. Some teams have 10, 11 games left in the year. But if the Mavericks are able to, let's say, win their next 8 of 10, because where are they at? They're at 71 games played, 72 games played. So they have 10 games left. So if they're able to win 8 of 10 and be the third seed or the fourth seed, wow. Because, three weeks ago, looking at this Mavericks team, you're like, what is this team going to look like? What are they going to be? I mean, they are, of course, a dark horse. Luka, you can never count that guy. No team wants to play him in a series, including the Nuggets. I think if the Thunder and the Mavericks were to meet in the playoffs, I would think that the Mavericks would win that series. I think the same thing if the Mavericks played the Timberwolves, they played the Clippers, if they played the Pelicans. I mean, There are a few teams, like there's only like two teams that I really think that when it comes down to a seven game series, that it would be mostly the Nuggets, and I would think that, I guess the Timberwolves. I'm not gonna say that the Mavericks could walk over them, as long as the Timberwolves get Cat back, and just because they're so long and lengthy that it would be really tough to beat them in a 7-game series, and if Ant is playing, of course, out of his mind, but I mean, there is no team that the Mavericks cannot beat in the Western Conference. As long because obviously as long as Luka stays healthy, Luka right now I believe I have him third in the MVP voting. Of course, Jokic in and again going to SGA, they are number one and two. SGA he's been too lights out this year. People, again he is their prominent crunch time guy. They have other guys who of course have made big shots. Last night I was watching the Thunder Pelicans game, and the Pelicans, they came back. They were down by like 15 points. They came storming back. They had a 5-point lead with a minute and 45 or a minute and 52 seconds left. 5-point lead. They were leading 112 to 107, and SGA just does work. He SGA scores a basket, hits a three, then the game is tied at 112, and then I think it was Dort who hit a shot. You had other guys hitting shots for them. The Thunder ended up winning the game, and they closed out with a 12-0 run. And you're like, man, like again, this Thunder team who has been one of the best crunch time teams crunch time teams all year. And look where they sit, 50-21. If you would have said this at the beginning of the year that the Thunder would have won 50 games, I mean, that is just incredible. And of course, it goes down to their coaching. What Presti has done in, building this organization to where they are. But again, the guy at the forefront of that is SGA. That is why I have him slightly over the MVP for as Jokic. Like, I know Jokic last year he had the MVP stolen from him, from the Embiid. Everybody was clamoring for Embiid, and then all of a sudden that changed once the playoffs came. I just think that what SGA has done for them, because I look at it like this. If you take SGA off of the Thunder and you take Jokic off the Thunder or the Nuggets, then who's the next best player? The next best player on each team is, kind of questionable. Do you think it's Chet or do you think it's Giddey? It's really like, who is the next best player on the Thunder? And then you look at the Nuggets. Everyone already knows it's Jamal Murray. Everyone knows that Jamal Murray. Yeah, I know he's not a like big 5-time All-Star or anything like that, but everybody knows who Jamal Murray is. The guy is big time. He takes over games. He is just as clutch as almost anybody out there in the league. And this Nuggets team is foreign. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to make it seem like Jokic isn't the best player in the NBA, because he absolutely is. And just because you're the best player doesn't mean you're the MVP. I just think what SGA and this Thunder team has done this year is pretty remarkable, and that is why I just have SGA slightly over Jokic in the MVP conversation. And plus, the Thunder have just been more consistent all year. The Nuggets kind of they stumbled a little bit in the beginning of the year. This Thunder team has just been playing consistent, and that is all due to what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has done. Anyways, I can't wait for this basketball season to wrap up, and let's get to the NBA postseason. But yeah, I really wanted to come on today to talk mostly about baseball futures and baseball betting. Everyone thinks betting, and they're like, "Oh, you're gonna talk about Shohei Ohtani." I'll talk a minute about Shohei Ohtani. Do I question? And here's the biggest question I think, about Shohei Ohtani. I think that the NBA, or sorry, the MLB, when they found out this news, it was a bombshell. I mean, this is the best player in baseball. Some people are like, "Oh, best player in baseball." No, it's Ronald Acuna or Mookie Betts. Shohei Ohtani, when he's pitching, obviously there's no doubt that he is the best player in baseball. one of the best hitters, whatever, in baseball. Definitely the most marketable player that baseball has. He is the face of baseball until proven otherwise. And when when the news came out that his, reporter, or sorry, his translator had done this, I mean, man, it is like, whoa, what is going on here? Everyone is like clamoring, wondering for the truth. I deal in sports cards, and God, the people in the sports card industry are like, freaking out, because a lot of people who own Shohei Ohtani cards are, they're a little bit worried, including myself. I have a few Shohei Ohtanis. Nothing crazy like some of these other people out here who have, a lot of money invested in him. But I'm more worried because of the game. If the MLB were to lose Shohei Ohtani, it would be a catastrophe. But one thing that the MLB should have did, and I know the FBI is looking into this and everything like that, the MLB should have came out right away and said, "We are going to investigate this." They waited a few days until Friday. Oh yeah, we're going to open up an investigation. Of course, you should have opened up an investigation the moment you heard this news, baseball. Come on. Have we not learned anything from the past with steroids, with the sign stealing scandals? I mean, God, come on, baseball. Really, like, I've been a huge critic of Manfred over the years. I cannot wait till he leaves as commissioner. Still, I'm still not a fan of him. I do like some of the stuff that they have implemented as of last year, pitch clock and speeding up the game and all that. I'm all for that with baseball. I think all sports have gone too long, NBA in particular, with all these rule changes and everything like that. So I'm all for the rule changes that speed up the game. But baseball took way too long to announce the investigation. Now to kind of talk about what happened with Shohei. I mean, look, his translator got into gambling debt. Do I think that Shohei was placing bets on the side and doing this? People who are just questioning his integrity. Come on, guys, really? Like, I mean, look, it's America, innocent till proven guilty. I mean, what Pete Rose and Ohtani were doing. Pete Rose is openly betting on baseball games. Like, I mean, look, like, whether you think they're the same, or you're just like, oh, this, that, like, I mean, I don't know if you guys have watched the Shohei Ohtani documentaries. Like, this guy just loves baseball. Why would he gamble and risk $700 million? Like, that's just another thing. It's like, I know sometimes, like, some players can never help themselves. Like, players do stupid things in other sports and in baseball as well. Like, you look at Wander Franco and you're like, man, like, dude, you just got, $200+ million contract, and you're doing all, you're messing with underage girls in the Dominican. Again, innocent to proven guilty. I mean, right now he has a long process, and who knows what's going to happen with that guy. Man, that's another topic for another podcast. Sean Watson stuff. I mean, all, Trevor Bauer. It's like, look, there's a due process. I just don't understand why Ohtani would risk all that. And again, going back to what I mentioned earlier about, like, watching his documentary and just how much this guy loves baseball. He is an absolute, baseball savant. I mean, he loves this game. He wants to get better all the time. And that's why I'm just like, thinking in my head, why would he do this? And it's like, I know reporters were trying to, Shohei Ohtani had a press conference on Monday. It was just more of a, he was just reading. He wasn't answering any questions at all for any of the reporters. And in the statement saying he did not know, or he never approved of anything, that his money was being stolen, almost to the amount of $5 million. It sucks. I mean, I like, for Ohtani, I really feel bad for the guy, because A, his interpreter and him were really good friends. They spent Christmas with each other last year. Like, they spent a lot of time with each other, and Ohtani is a very closed, he's a pretty closed off guy. That was one of the things that, observing him, that when he played for the Angels, is he doesn't do he's not very open with a lot of stuff. I mean, we didn't even know the guy was getting married. I mean, it's crazy. So again, I'm sure there's a lot of trust broken between him and his translator, obviously. And I can imagine what that guy is going through right now. I really feel bad for him. Again, I'm not gonna rush to say he's guilty or anything like that. Let's just hold back. Let the FBI do their investigation. In baseball, of course. I mean, the FBI is gonna be now way ahead of baseball on this. But it's just again, it's crazy. I just feel bad for Otani, and that I just I want to see him do well. I mean, the Dodgers, I mean, they have such a loaded team. I just want again Otani to be kind of all there all year. But anyways, I want to move on from that. I want to talk MLB futures, because there's some odds that I really want to jump ahead of on the season here before we kind of get going and underway. I want to talk about World Series odds here. Of course, the Dodgers are favored after the offseason they had. How can they not be? I think they're projected to win 103 games. 103 games. That's the most in all of baseball. I mean, again, no doubt. Like the top of their lineup, Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. I mean, God, man. It's like those three guys are all MVP candidates themselves. One thing here, and for the World Series 2024, let's see. So Dodgers +350, Astros +750, Yankees +1100, Texas World Series champions last year +1500. They are gonna be better this year. They signed Michael Lorenzen. I know they did lose Montgomery. Montgomery just signed with the team that they were playing against, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They signed a 1-year, $25 million deal with him with them yesterday. But again, going there. Sorry, I was reading down the list. I should have been reading across. Again, sorry. Let me repeat that again. Dodgers +350, Braves +450, Astros +750, Baltimore +1100, Yankees +1100. Philadelphia Phillies +1400, Rangers +1500, Mariners +1900, and then it goes on more long shots: Twins +1900, Blue Jays +2000, Cubs +2800, Rays +3500. It's kind of tasty, actually. But then the Diamondbacks +4000. Of course, they're in a very tough division. ones that I really kind of, and I'll get into long shots, but my favorite one that I just read off. Philadelphia Phillies +1400. That is very tasty. Like with the Phillies, who I think they have the best pitcher in all of baseball, Zach Wheeler. I mean, over the last 5 years, it's been him and one or two other pitchers, counting regular season and postseason. He is dominant. He just signed an extension there. This Phillies team, who had a slow start last year, who they just broke 90 games. I don't think they're gonna have a slow start this year. I think this team is bound. I think they're gonna be bound to win 100 games in a weakened NL East, because this is them and the Braves, the Mets, who might contend. I mean, maybe, but we'll see. The Marlins, who are gonna be worse. They lost a lot of people, and I think they're gonna be selling at the deadline. And the Nationals, I don't have anything really to say about them. The Nationals are probably gonna win 70 games. And I think their over under is like 66. I actually like their over on that, because they actually have good bats on their team. But still, a weakened NL East as opposed to prior years. Oh God, I love the Phillies at +1400. Don't get me wrong, the Braves +450. Braves will be there. But I still the there's something about this Phillies team. They own the Braves in the postseason. The Dodgers, who just sometimes they when it comes to the postseason, I don't know. We just haven't seen it from them. When it counts, I know they won in 2020, but different kind of atmosphere when playing a full season where all the injuries stack up. I mean, but I really love the Phillies there at +1400. Of course, Texas there. Here's another thing. It's like, why cannot Texas repeat? And why are they so far down the list? Plus 1500. Let's make the case for them. They get Wyatt Linkford to start the year. Wyatt Linkford is their top prospect. This guy from high school on, or I think, yeah, from high school on to being at like single A, double A, and triple A, and then in spring training has had an OPS of over 1,000. He's never had it below 1,000. That is unbelievable. That guy gets on base all the time. And again, like Wyatt Langford, we're gonna get into rookie of the year odds in a little bit, but man, he is gonna make this Texas team with an already loaded lineup. I mean, this team had the best offense of all of baseball last year, and you're adding this guy, Wyatt Langford, to that team. I mean, just watch out. I mean, Texas is gonna be scoring a lot of runs. Of course, their biggest concern is their pitching. They have Nathan Eovaldi going into the year. He started gonna be their opening day starter. They are gonna be without Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom to start the year. They did sign, I mentioned earlier, Mike Lorenzen. I just that guy is he threw a perfect game for the Phillies last year. He or not a perfect game, but it was a no hitter. Threw a no hitter for the Phillies last year when they acquired him. And he's just a pitcher that can give them innings. I do believe that they will be getting Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom back at some point this year. I know their rotation is a little older. I mean, you're looking at Eovaldi, Scherzer and deGrom. These guys aren't young, but again, they do have some quality starters there. John Gray back of the rotation there. They have a lot that can go on. And let's go into long shots here. Again, I read some of them off earlier. Of course, everybody's gonna be looking at the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's just such a tough division. The Padres got better, the Giants got better, and talking about the Giants, plus 4,500, Padres plus 5,000, Reds plus 4,500. That's where I want to go. I want to talk about the Giants, a team that signed Matt Chapman. They're gonna be instantly better. Although I didn't like the managerial change, nothing against nothing against their current manager right now. Got him drawing a blank on his name from the Padres from last year. But I didn't like the way they fired Gabe Kapler last year. Bob Melvin. God, I can't even think of his name for a second. I feel like I don't know baseball. But again, bringing in Bob Melvin, he's a guy who. Look, he's, his teams love him. I know there was a lot going on there in San Diego with some of the personalities there. That team was just kind of a mess last year. They had an utterly complete change and they were underperforming. But Bob Melvin, who has probably the best 1-2 combo in all of baseball with Logan Webb and adding Blake Snell to that mix. They're going to be getting Alex Cobbs at some point or this season, along with former Cy Young Award winner Robbie Ray, who they acquired. God, I forgot who they even. I think it was like Mitch Haniger they gave up. Anyways, they took on the Robbie Ray contract. And look, that guy, if he could be your fourth starter, this Giants rotation is going to be freaking really good. And I really like their offense. They have a lot of good position players there. And yeah, I like their odds plus 4,500, sprinkling a little bit of money on that, sprinkle $40 on that. God, it's you can still win almost close to two G's or yeah, like two grand there. I think it just puts you over that. And then even the Padres plus 5,000. Padres added Dylan Cease there. They have a really good rotation. Joe Musgrove, Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish. They're going to be without Juan Soto, but they still have a lot of bats leading with Manny Machado. They have Xander Bogaerts, who's looking to have a bounce back year. I mean, not a team that's like super old, and plus they still can get better. They still have a few prospects that are going to be on their way up to the major leagues this year. Jackson Morrell being one of them. Another guy who we'll be talking about when it comes to rookie of the year. But again, two teams, and then. One more team that I do like here, I'll spring another maybe like $25 on them. The Cincinnati Reds. I like some of the guys that they added this year. They have a an offense that it can be just as good as the Rangers, if they could get everything going. But yeah, that's a team who I sort of like. The Blue Jays, I just don't see it with them. Plus 2,000 with the Blue Jays, I just there's something outside of their rotation, outside of Kevin Gausman. I just don't like the rest of the rotation. I'm not a big fan of Jose Berrios and the rest of those guys. Kenta Maeda, I think, is coming back. No, actually, wait, Maeda's on the Twins. Twins plus 1900, that is way too high. They lost Sonny Gray. Again, I'm a lot of questions there for them. I don't trust Buxton to be healthy as well. Chicago Cubs plus 2800, that's a little tasty. Justin Steele leading the way there. I like the rotation. That's not too bad. But I think their odds should. I don't understand how the Giants and the Padres' odds are all the way up there, and the Cubs are at plus 2800. I know they play in a weaker division, but I actually like their. I think their division is going to be kind of tough between them, the Reds, the Cardinals, and the Pirates. Don't overlook the Pirates this year, guys. And then Tampa Bay Rays plus 3500. Rays are always there. Could this be the year for the Rays? We'll see. I know they have a lot going on, but even when they lose people, they know how to plug and play. Even the Rays are at plus 3500. Not bad, not bad. I know I named off a lot there. Let's go to the awards. All right, let's start off here. MVP, guys. NL MVP. Let's start here. Ronald Acuna Jr. to repeat plus 500. Mookie Betts plus 650. Mookie Betts, who already has six RBIs this year, one home run. Yes, that is my favorite for the NL MVP, and not just because of the numbers. I think last year he was so close to finishing it off. I think he's gonna hit over 50 home runs this, or sorry, over 40 home runs again this year. I think just that. Also, I think the him moving bases is gonna, sorry, bases, moving positions is gonna help from outfield. Going to shortstop, he'll eventually probably end up at second base, but that's just incredible. And I think that, again, being that versatile, I think a lot of writers are gonna be looking at that, like, man, look what Betts is doing. I think he's have a monster year offensively, and then defensively, you always pencil him in. Again, I hope he'll eventually move over to second base, but we'll see. Shohei Ohtani's at plus 750. Ohtani, I don't like that just because, again, Ohtani's not pitching, so. I'll leave that there. Fernando Tatis Jr. That's another guy that you mentioned on the Padres. Jesus Christ. Plus 1,000. Bryce Harper plus 1,000. Freddie Freeman plus 1,200. I do like Freddie Freeman to win the batting title again, or not again, but close to it last year. I think he's probably the best pure hitter in all of baseball. Matt Olson plus 1,500. Don't see it. He hits a lot of home runs. I know he was really close last year, but he just had a career year last year. I do think he will hit 50 home runs again, though. Corbin Carroll, he is one of the guys I do like. Plus 1,800, Corbin Carroll. Monster year last year, is one of the best up-and-coming rising stars in all of baseball. I love those odds at plus 1,800. Manny Machado, plus 2,200. Don't see it. Trey Turner, maybe. 2,200, maybe. Here's one number in who a guy who has just been tearing it up in spring training, and he did have the injury last year. O'Neal Cruz, and a guy who has cut his chase rate down. I like those odds at plus 2,500. I think he had seven home runs in spring training. Again, if look, your team doesn't have to make the playoffs in to win the MVP. We've seen teams to miss the playoffs and a player still get MVP. I mean, look at Mike Trout. His team has missed playoffs all the time, and he still has won MVP. I don't care if you agree or disagree with that. Look, if you have been the best player all year, then you have a shot for MVP. O'Neal Cruz, plus 2,500. I really like those odds, and I think those odds have come down. I think it was like plus 4,000 earlier in the year. Austin Riley, plus 2,500. Again, I love Riley. I think he's super underrated. I like him over Matt Olson there, and I know him, Olson, and Acuna are all on the same team. We didn't get to Michael Harris, who's at plus 5,000, but he's another guy I like. And then I'll just kind of go down the list. Pete Alonso plus 2,500, doubt it. Ellie Dela Cruz plus 3,500. Maybe. Interesting. Paul Goldschmidt, I know you won it 2 years ago. I do not think you'll win it again. You're plus 3,500. Francisco Lindor, no doubt. Or, sorry, no chance. I mean, he's at plus 4,000 with Nolan Arenado plus 4,000. Don't see it. Don't see it. Xander Bogaerts plus 5,000 negative. Maybe Cody Bellinger plus 5,000. Not bad. Like I said, in a competitive division, but winnable division. If he could have a year like he did last year, he was one of before. He's still young enough. Still could carry that team. That's a maybe. Michael Harris plus 5,000. Again, just too many names on that team. I think he's probably the fourth or fifth best guy there. Unless that he's hitting like 350 all year, which I mean, maybe he can. He's a really good hitter. Matt Chapman plus 6,000. Do not see that. Luis Arias, yeah, he's kind of getting down the list. You're like, I guess as I'm going down this list and I'm looking at other people's names, there is one name. Actually, I'm gonna say two names here. That I really like, Dansby Swanson plus 7,000. That is tasty. I like Dansby Swanson a lot. Plays shortstop. Writers, everyone knows shortstop harder position in baseball. As far as like on the defensive end, that catcher, but like it's look, Dansby Swanson, good hitter again on that Cubs team where, they overachieve a little bit and Dansby's there and they make the playoffs. Like that could be a name. The other one here who I like is Francisco Alvarez, Mets catcher, my guy. Love Alvarez, vicious swing. I mean, look, he's been throwing people out in spring training. I hope that translates because if he steps up his defense there, and he can throw people out on the just attempting the steal and doing that and can hit over 300. I mean, I think he's the best. The second part, I can say he's better than Adley Rutschman. But he's probably, I think, the second offense, the best of. He's the second best offensive hitter, I think. Yes, over Sean Murphy. Some people are like, "Oh, what about Phillies catcher?" Man, who's the Phillies catcher? Drawing a blank of his name. Phillies catcher. JT Realmuto, another guy who I really like. But yeah, I think that. I think Alvarez is going to take that big leap this year, and I think he will be the second best catcher in all of baseball when this year is all said and done. Let's move over to the NL. This is where, again, things get really interesting. For some reason, Aaron Judge is plus 550 and leads the way. I just want one thing. Look, I know he won it 2 years ago. Just with him, man, this just always comes down to a certain injury. With Judge, and I just don't know if he's in enough time. Here's a name I like a lot, and he's at the top. Julio Rodriguez plus 600. I just love this. I think Julio, again, I think he's making another leap. I think he's gonna be on this Mariners team where it's pretty much him now. And I think he could be the difference maker there. And I like those odds plus 600. I think he is going to be the guy this year in the AL. Juan Soto plus 600. I don't know. Contract year, maybe yes. Well, we'll see. I just I don't know. I need to see more from Soto. Like I know he had this breakout year in 2019, and he's been a good batter. But I just don't see, like, when people say he's like the worth 440 million. I just don't see it. We'll see anyways. I mean, he'll still probably get 400 million this year, and I'll be wrong. Yordan Alvarez plus 800, Corey Seager plus 1,000. God, man, Corey Seager. The only thing with him is he's already gonna miss the start of the year. So it's just hard to bet him. Bobby Witt Jr. plus 1,300. Man, he had a monster second half last year. If he could play like that all year, I mean, no doubt he will win the MVP. Adley Rutschman plus 1,500. Here's the other name I do like. Gunnar Henderson plus 1,500. AL Rookie of the Year last year. Orioles team, who I just think is gonna win over. I think they're going to 100 games again. I love everything they did. They added Corbin Burns, they got better, and they're still gonna call up Jackson Holliday. Unbelievable. I love the Gunnar Henderson. I love Gunnar Henderson. I think he, I would pick him over Adley Rutschman. I know Adley plays the more important position there. I just think Gunnar is that much. I think he's that awesome. Let's see, long shots. Mike Trout +2,000. Very interesting. Again, kind of what I said about Judge earlier, though. Mike Trout, who's been pretty injury prone the last few years. That's a little tasty one. But my favorite long shot bet here, it goes. Where is he at? God, has he moved down even further? God, the disrespect for Bo Bichette. +4,000. Bo Bichette. Vicious swing, great swing, monster bat. I love me some Bo Bichette. If the, I know what I said earlier about the Blue Jays again, Bichette, who is in the prime, in this prime of his career, 26 years old. I just love those numbers right there. like we've seen it year in, year out. I think he could take the leap this year. I love those odds, +4,000. Give me some Bo Bichette. Yeah, and just kind of looking at some other long shots. You like Adolis Garcia, +5,000, maybe. Garcia, who was had a monster year last year. I don't know if he could do what he did last year again, like that. But those odds with him, Bregman +5,000, a contract year, maybe. I don't know. Marcus Semien was, I think he was like third in voting last year. Maybe +4,000, not bad. The other name right here that's kind of tasty is Luis Robert Jr. He is, again, on, he had a breakout year last year. He played the most games of his career. This only thing with him is health, but he's also is on a very bad White Sox team. I mean, he would have to wheel that team to like 75 games. 70 games maybe for them to even be in, for him to be in consideration for the MVP. Let's go over to Cy Young, guys. Cy Young, NL. Let me just go down the list really quick. Spencer Strider +450. Everybody loves him because the next best one is Zach Wheeler at +800. It's almost double. Zach Wheeler again. I think he's the best pitcher in all of baseball. Yamamoto is one of the other favorite in locks of this year. He got his butt kicked in his first in his debut. I like Zach Wheeler +800. I would take that. The other guy who I like is right down the is up there too. Logan Webb +950. Logan Webb is awesome. Look, Strider, who is going to lead the league in strikeouts this year. I don't think he's the best pitcher on his own team. I think the best pitcher is the guy at +1,300, Max Fried, who's in a contract year, who's when he is healthy and he's on, that guy is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Max Fried +1,300, not bad. Glasnow, I don't think you can stay healthy. +1,400, Freddy Peralta +1,500. Don't see it. I mean, yeah, actually, I can see it. He is the main horse on his team. Woodruff is gonna miss the season. Corbin Burns is gone over to Baltimore, as I said earlier. Maybe Peralta is gonna be the guy that maybe can be that guy. Again, I just wouldn't, I wouldn't bet the money on it. Blake Snell +1,800, two Cy Youngs, NL Cy Young reigning and NL Cy Young winner from last year, +1,800, not bad. Dylan Cease +2,500. I need to see a solid start for him. If he has a solid five games, I would. That's something I would live bet during the year. Justin Steele +2,000, love that. I love Justin Steele +2,000. That's another good bet, and that just because those are just good odds. Yu Darvish +4,000, Hunter Green 3,500, Chris Sale +3,000. Would not do that. Would not do that. Maybe Shohei Uemura, the new pitcher for the Cubs, maybe +4,000. Maybe the Cubs are going to do better than I thought. The other name down here on the list, who I mentioned earlier on the Padres, is Joe Musgrove +5,000. Not bad at all. Again, it just gums the health, but man, that is pretty tasty for Musgrove, who we've seen him be that guy. That is one that is really interesting. Moving to the AL Cy Young award race, Here's where, again, remember I said Strider was like plus, what was he, plus 450 earlier? Yeah, plus 450. Well, in the AL, it starts at plus 700 is Kevin Gausman. He's tied with Corbin Burns for the NL Cy Young winner. Luis Castillo plus 800. Framber Valdez plus 800. Tarik Skubal, Tigers pitcher, plus 900. That's so interesting that he's all the way up there. A guy who a lot of other people like, Cole Ragans, pitcher for the Kansas City Royals, plus 900, dominant in that trade last year. They brought him over in the trade for Aldouris Chapman. Jesus Christ, I cannot talk. My dyslexia, guys, give me a break. Anyways, when he came over in the Aldouris Chapman trade from last year. That was a great trade. Win-win for both teams. Look, Texas wins a World Series. Hard to do. That's what your goal is. You win the World Series. Yeah, you gave up a really good pitcher. Still to be determined. Maybe it was the second half a fluke. We'll see this year. But Cole Ragans, plus 900. George Kirby, plus 1,200. Pablo Lopez, plus 1,300. Don't see that. Logan Gilbert, nope. I've seen that guy is too Jekyll and Hyde for me. Grayson Rodriguez plus one eight or sorry plus 1,800, not bad. Again, God, I love that Baltimore team. They are going so good this year. Gerrit Cole plus 2,500. He was the favorite obviously before. Who knows how much time he's going to miss? He may have Tommy John surgery come April. Who knows? Shane Bieber plus 2,000. No way. I know he's won it before, and I'm saying no way because he has a shoulder issue, and I would just not put my money on that. Tanner Bibee, that's interesting because Rays traded for him last year. He was awesome. And when the Rays do a trade like that, man, this is very interesting. Not bad. Plus 3,500. Hunter Brown, plus 3,500. No way. Carlos Rodon, no way. Zach Eflin, maybe. Plus 4,000 for Zach Eflin. I just love what the Rays do. I mean, God, those are some not bad odds. Eovaldi, I just don't think you finish the year healthy. All right, I think at some point you'll get injured. Eovaldi, I love the way you pitch though. Christian Javier, I'm hoping you bounce back, but I just don't see it. Berríos, no way. Joe Ryan, Bassett, no way. He's the other guy in that Toronto rotation that I've seen him. I seen him on the Mets. Saw everything I needed to. Good pitcher, just not deep pitcher. Here's one I do like. Brayan Bello, for the Red Sox just signed an extension. The Red Sox team is really bad. I like his stuff a lot. He's going to be their opening day starter. I'm rooting for you, Bello. Go out and prove people wrong. Plus 5,000. That's awesome. Not prove people wrong, but go out and show people what you can do, baby. Other names down the list, a huge long shot, Justin Verlander plus 7,500. Again, he started the reason his odds are all the way down there because he is missing the year. He's not going to start, or he's not going to be starting the year. He's going to be starting the year on the IL. Tristan McKenzie plus 7,500. Not that's not is he? He must be hurt. I guess I didn't see that. He must be hurt. Those odds are way too high for him. We'll see. Rookie. Here we go. Rookie of the year. I'm not going to get into reliever of the year and manager of the year. Because that just goes off of team success. If I'm going to go manager of the year, I'll just say Baltimore. Just go with him, maybe. Anyways, National League Rookie of the Year. Yamamoto leads the way, plus 260. Jung Ho Lee, plus 500. New Giants guy. Jackson Churio. He started the year with the Brewers. He is a very talented prospect. Got an extension. He's set for life. Plus 600 for him. Shohei Minga, plus 800. Jackson Morrell. He's the Padres prospect. Plus 950. He is not going to be starting. He's going to be starting in AAA. Kyle Harrison, plus 1,400. Maybe. Michael Busch, plus 1,500. I think the Dodgers just traded him over to the Cubs. Yeah, I think the Cubs are the White Sox. Anyways, he got traded away. Paul Skeens is on this list. I don't know if Paul Skeens will be called up enough and just too much competition to go against. I mean, those top five guys who we just said right away. I mean, the one I like a lot there is Jackson Chourio. I mean, this guy is just being called Yamamoto. I think he'll turn it on at some point during this year, but I think that Chourio will be this guy this year. And I just think writers will kind of lean towards him when with the impact that he might have on that Brewers team. AL Rookie of the Year favorite Wyatt Langford plus 225. Evan Carter plus 310. He was awesome for Texas last year. Big reason why they won the World Series. And both those guys are teammates. Jackson Holliday plus 450. Colt Keith plus 1,000. Then it kind of goes down from there. Colton Crouser plus 1,200 maybe. I see any other guys who gets called up here. Junior Caminario from the Tampa Bay Rays. Maybe again, I just kind of look at this. I'm like, Wyatt Langford plus 225. Darn it. The bettors have been hammering this all year. I guess just the other thing you want to say is maybe take Jackson Holliday so much with him plus 450. Evan Carter, I just don't see it. I mean, not that I don't see it. He's a talented player, but I mean, with him playing next to Wyatt Langford, I just think it's just like, look, it's either gonna be him or Jackson Holliday. I think Jackson Holliday can take that. And yeah, that's it, everybody. I hope you guys all enjoyed this edition for the Sportsmanlike Conduct podcast. It was a little long, a little longer, but it always goes that way, right? And look, baseball's here. I'm stoked for it. Love baseball. Football, we're getting close to the NFL draft. We are less than 3.5 weeks away, baby. So many moves, so much stuff is just happening there. Neighbors looks like he's going to overtake Marvin Harrison Jr. That's what everyone's like talking about. It's just going to be madness. Maybe we'll have some trades there, but we'll definitely be talking a little bit of pre-draft, and then we'll be definitely talking post-draft. And look, the NFL season will be here before you know it. But now it's baseball. I hope you guys all enjoy this episode of the podcast. Go place those bets, and I'll see you guys all next time.